Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business. RV, boat, motorcycle. Whatever your insurance needs, they will take care of them. Save you money. Maybe bundles could end up being the possibility of, you know, not just going cross state lines, but they'll do whatever they can to save you money. Terrific, as always. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Play-by-play call of the day. Brooks Koepka wins his fifth major championship, his third PGA. But even he knows that one of the fun stories of the weekend, all right, the teaching pro, Michael Block.
The fairy tale story.
Hello?
Michael.
Yes.
This is Michael Toth, the Turbo Director at Colonial.
Hey, what's going on, Michael?
Great week, my friend. Congratulations.
Don't tell me what you're going to tell me, because if you tell me, I'm going to start crying right now, man.
I am going to tell you what I'm about to tell you. We would love for you to come play in our golf tournament, and we have an exemption available, and we'd love for you to be in Fort Worth this week. And I'm with the hair on my arm is standing up too. So just take a deep breath. But there's no better person for this last exception to go to than you.
Michael, I haven't met you yet. And I can't thank you enough for this opportunity. This is even more insane. And I look forward to, sounds like, transferring my tickets to Fort Worth, Dallas tomorrow and coming to you guys rather than Orange County. If you could talk to my boss real quick. And tell him that I won't be at work next week. Is that okay, Matt?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, good. I'm good.
I'll be happy to call for you.
Okay, no, he's right here. He's right here. He's got tequila in his hand, so he's good.
At TCU.
Yeah, and a daughter at TCU, so we're coming.
That was fantastic.
Yeah. He automatically, by the way, if you're wondering if the invite was going to be for next year, it's automatic because he finished in the top 15. So he automatically is in the PGA next year at Valhalla. So that's an automatic. Isn't that cool? You know, it's a great story. Now, I will say this: it's a lot easier to make the great call on a shot like that when it's on tape. I'm not kidding you, but yeah, isn't that great? The hole in one, and he. He holed it on the fly, which was really cool. Like, doop. Wow. He holed it on the fly.
Yeah, at first, when I'm looking at it, I thought it was, like, right in front of the hole. And all he had to do was tap it in, and then, that actually went in the hole.
Went straight in.
It was awesome. It was so much fun to see.
They interviewed him a couple times in the course. Scott Van Pelt, who did a great job with him on, I think it was Friday. And then Jim Nance and Trevor Immelman did a great job with him on Saturday. And he was just so personable and easy to talk to, and the other pros loved being around him. And this is a teaching pro. It's what he does for a living, you know? Now, he says now he's down to, what, 3 lessons a week at $125 a lesson. But he made $288,000 this weekend. He made $288,000. That was his check for finishing 15th. And he always wanted to be the low teaching pro in the field. That was always one of his goals. And he did it. And you know, he's 46. And I'm in the crowd ate him up. They loved him. Justin Rose loved playing with him. Rory McIlroy loved playing with him. And I think, you know, the whole thing was great. And then Koepka had, I think, the line of the day. You know, they're going through, you know, Koepka wins. And, you know, Koepka's coming off. And, of course, all the other pros are congratulating him. And he gets to block it. He says, hey, I heard you're buying. Because he got the hole in one.
I did see that. I give him a lot of credit.
I heard you're buying. Which is great. All right. We've just talked about one of the fun stories of the weekend. Now we take a dramatic turn for the worst.
Now, with this next complaint, it's not it's not that I don't take some fun in this, too, seeing the Celtics just look embarrassing, but makes me feel a little bitter about the Sixers, because I think, well, maybe they probably could have put in a better effort, although maybe Game 7 wouldn't have indicated that. But anyway...
Excuse me. You lost.
Yeah,
how could they turn in a better effort?
Well, I guess it goes without saying. But I have to go to Al Horford. All right, first of all, I've never liked the guy to begin with, but for him to have the audacity to even give the timeout signal to the Heat when the Celtics went on their lone run of that game, I'm sorry. You're down 2-0. You got your butt handed to you at home both games, and you give that little tee up to them to call a timeout for the lone time that you look like an NBA basketball team that deserved to be in the Eastern Conference final in that game and then got toasted the rest of the way. Jimmy Butler had every right to get back at him and then some. I love when Jimmy Butler went back to the tee later on when the Heat did that. You got some sort of set of Gouyuns, Al Horford. I should have been surprised because that's just how he plays. To give that tee when the Celtics have literally done nothing in this series but embarrass themselves and give that little tee, it's like giving the first down signal when you're down 45-3 in the fourth quarter. Like, give me a break.
I didn't see a single second of the game. And I did not see a single second of the Lakers-Nuggets game 3. So I didn't watch any NBA basketball this weekend. Zero. You know, I saw the final score. What the Heat have done speaks for itself. Jimmy Butler has more guts and gumption in him than anybody the Celtics have. I mean, they need a guy like that, that just in the moment just grabs the bull by the horns and says, "Here we go, everybody, you know, let's take a ride home." Also, I think Eric Spoelstra is one heck of a basketball coach. You know, he has absolutely outcoached the Celtics coach, Joe Mazzulla, in this. And it's not a surprise. Spoelstra has been around the block. And they've assembled a good team. And it does present a challenge potentially for the NBA. I have said forever, we will find out what the NBA is made of when they get to, and I always refer to it as, if Utah were to play Atlanta in the final, that then we would find out where's the NBA. The NBA has always been extremely fortunate. Going back to the 80s, when they needed Bird against Magic, they got Bird against Magic. When they needed Jordan against Isaiah or Jordan against Magic Johnson, they got it. When they just needed Jordan there, they got it. When they needed Kobe and Shaq together, they got it. When they needed LeBron, Bosh, and Wade together, they got it. When they needed to get Steph Curry in the finals, they got it. When they needed LeBron in the finals, they got it. Right? Well, what happens now if they've got Denver against Miami? I mean, it's not like you don't have talented players. Jimmy Butler's a great player. Adebayo is a really good player. Now you might get Tyler Hero back. Right? Jokic is a top five player. Jamal Murray is a great player. Then you add in Porter and you add in Brown. I mean, they're really terrific teams that are really well coached. But does it resonate with America? That's what I want to find out. It's the NBA Finals, so let's watch. Or it's Denver and Miami. I'm going to be interested to see what the TV ratings say about that, because that's the one question I've always had about the NBA. I feel like over the decades, right, four-plus decades, I'd say 95% of the time, the NBA has had the matchup it needed either in a star or a team that drew ratings. And now they will have, you know, the potential is there if the Nuggets close out the Lakers and the Heat close out the Celtics and they're both up 3-0, and you get Denver versus Miami. Yeah, Butler's a star, but he doesn't resonate with, okay, the casual fan of America. Jokic is an absolute star, but he doesn't resonate with the vast majority of the casual fans in America. I mean, last year you had the Celtics and the Warriors. You had Steph Curry out there. It's Steph Curry playing in the finals last year against one of the all-time franchises, the Celtics. Well, that's what you had. It's pretty good. It's not bad. But the question is going to be, whether a Denver-Miami deal resonates. Now that it's not going to devalue the NBA contract coming up. Everybody's going to want it, except Fox. Fox has already said they're not going to bid for it. But that's going to be interesting if Denver can get one more, and if Miami can get one more, that would be your final, and let's see what America thinks of it. And I don't care who calls timeouts. Doesn't matter to me or how they do it. Like, I'm not into imagery. Social media or, you know, trolling and things like that. No, I'm just not into that. I know you're surprised.
Oh my almighty!
I'm just not. It's just like, who cares? Like, to me, it's who wins, who loses. Miami's been the better team. They deserve to be in front. They've been the better team. Been the more organized team, smarter team, played better. And they've done it without Tyler Hero. They have not had one of the key shooters in the lineup. Could get him back for the finals if they are to close out Boston. All right. We'll take a break. Are you out of complaints?
I actually got a couple more.
Oh, God. It's just, I feel like just water dripping on my forehead.
Oh. It was a very interesting weekend.
By the way, can I say one quick thing about the weekend, and then we'll take a break? I went to, for the first time ever, I went to Knoebels. And Jerry, who's been there for 40 years, he's been there for 40 years at Knoebels, now runs the place. And he has done a terrific job, great staff. That park was so clean. It was immaculate, you know. Now, I'm not a person that goes on a lot of rides or anything, but just walking around, I could see they had, you know, just great rides, great food, great everything. And we were there with 10 other Penn State clubs. 10 Penn State clubs got together surrounding their campuses. And I spoke to them on Saturday morning before they went out into the park. Food was great. And so to all the organizers of it, thank you. To Jerry, thank you so much. He listens to the show all the time, by the way, and they love your rants.
I'm glad.
Well, no, mostly for the comedy of it. As we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I...
just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
He's all the way back. Koepka conquers the PGA at Oak Hill.
I don't think the average fan gives a darn about LIV versus the PGA. It's an interesting story to write about, talk about. It's interesting to see the players. You know what the fans want? They just want to see the best out there competing against each other. So in the majors, you're getting that. So Brooks Koepka wins the tournament. You know, he's overcome his knee injuries and everything like that. He wins his fifth major. He is a great, great talent. And the fans just want to see the best. That's all they want. That's why, for example, they're debating what to do about the Ryder Cup. You're playing for the United States. Who really cares? Don't start pulling this what the NHL did with the Summit Series in 1972, where they told Bobby Hull, because he went to the WHA, he couldn't play for Team Canada. Guess what? He's a Canadian. Play. Right? Brooks Koepka can help the United States win the Ryder Cup. Who cares what tour he's on? I mean, really, who cares? That's me. So, it you know, you get into these little. You can make all this stuff so petty. The fans just want to see the best play. They don't really care whether they're in the NFL or the AFL. They just want to see them play against each other. That's just me. You, of course, are on right now a roll where you're just pasting everybody today.
I wasn't thrilled about Koepka winning, but I give him a lot of credit for the handling Michael Block the way he did. I think he was very gracious in that. And I'm also on the fact that if I needed somebody for Team USA, I would pick him. And I agree that, yes, the fans don't care about LIV.
They don't care.
So I agree. I'm just not thrilled he won, but that's my opinion.
I mean, you know, if you're not a Koepka fan, doesn't matter. I mean, you know, that means you wouldn't be crazy about him living, but winning. But you don't sit there. I don't think fans sit there and go, he's a LIV guy. You're like going, hey, it's Koepka. He's won before. It's great, man. What a great player. Tee to green. Look at the big putts he made. He's got that bulldog mentality. Yeah. I don't think anybody cares about that stuff. They don't care if DeChambeau is. Because most people, look, the Indianapolis 500 is coming up on Sunday, right? Okay. And don't let the suit charge out of the office when I say this, but for most of America, it's the only IndyCar race they watch during the course of the year. Right? I mean, I'm talking about the casual fan.
100%.
For the casual fan, that's the race for them every year. The Indianapolis 500. In golf, it's the Masters, the PGA, the U.S. Open, the Open Championship. I mean, the people at Colonial and the Tour care about who wins Colonial. The average fan is like, okay, who did what? I mean, can you even tell me who won last week's event?
Absolutely not.
Right. No, fans can't. They can't, but they know who won the PGA. They know that Jon Rahm won the Masters. Who won the Clay Court Championship this weekend in tennis?
I just know that Nadal pulled out of the French Open,
right.
And that last year, next year is probably his last year.
Yeah, in the French Open, Wimbledon, the U.S. Open, to a lesser extent because of the time of the year, the Australian Open, right? But people are just into the big events now. You know, when it comes to these sports, that they don't really care if that, you know, well, he plays fourth in the LIV tournament at Tulsa. Really? They had a LIV tournament in Tulsa? Really? How about that? Hey, that's great. I mean, where's this week's stop in the tour? I mean, really, it's a big deal in the communities they're in. It's a huge deal because it does a lot for charities there. It puts you on the map, the whole thing. But really, people don't know who ends up winning the events. They don't. I mean, who won the Farmers Open this year? Farmers Insurance, who won it? I mean, you see my point. But boy, you ask who won the Masters. Yeah, John Rahm won the Masters. Hey, that's great. Who won the PGA last year? Oh, Justin Thomas did. Who won the Byron Nelson? Crickets. Doesn't mean that the events aren't important, especially for the areas that you live in. They're very important. But to the casual fan, what do they know? And that's important because they make a difference in the TV ratings.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, RV, boat, motorcycle. Maybe it ends up being bundles. They'll save you money. Make sure you're fully insured. And customer service means everything to them. It is all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Well, I can't wait for next Tuesday's show. You want to know why?
Because of more complaints I'll have with a 3-day weekend?
Extra long weekend, and you will be moody.
Hey, we'll just see how it goes. It could be less, it could be more. It just depends on the amount of stupid that happens over that 3-day span.
All right, what's the last part here? We got Brett McMurphy coming up, by the way.
This is more of an annoyance with the Sixers coaching search right now.
Oh, jeez.
There's good candidates out there. I've talked about some of the candidates I don't want to see. But the thing that I've been annoyed with the most is every single year, or single time, the Sixers bring up, head coach searches bring up for the Sixers, people are like, oh my God, let's go call Jay Wright. Sixers should call Jay Wright. He'd love to come. The guy hasn't been in the NBA for a reason. He was happy at Villanova and being in college basketball because he was the young son. He was the guy on campus. He was the man on campus. He loves his job now with CBS being an analyst. He's not going to the NBA. If he wanted to go to the NBA, he would have left Villanova a long time ago, probably after when he won his second national championship. But he didn't. He finished up at Villanova, and now he's retired and enjoying his time doing TV work. He's not going to the Sixers. Stop saying this every single time. Enough already. I wouldn't hate it. I would love for Jay Wright to become the Sixers coach. I think he could be a good NBA coach. But he's not coming to the NBA. So let's stop.
A message from this station and the Ad Council.
There you go. I mean, it's just a lazy narrative at this point. Larry Brown was just on with NBC Sports Philly. He also said, oh, the Sixers should give Jay Wright a call. Wake up out of your sleep, Larry Brown. Is he in the NBA? No. Go back to sleep.
I mean, he's coached NBA players before because he's been an assistant coach on the, I think, some of the world championship deal with USA Basketball. So, now, I know with Brett McMurphy, we have a lot to talk about. I mean, ESPN showing no interest right now in the Pac-12. This deal with the Big Ten, of course, Pete Thamel, it's his story, but Brett knows what's going on with that. The Magnificent Seven, and I'm not talking about our staff meetings.
Oh, my almighty!
I think that's enough. That's a compliment for our staff meetings, to be honest with you.
What do you guys talk about in those things?
Well, we now have these staff meetings once every 2 weeks, so I'll just let that speak for itself.
Okay. That's good. All
right. This week being the off week.
Oh, this is the off week.
Correct.
So you have to have one coming out of Memorial Day?
I guess so, yeah. And they are strictly a half hour, no later.
Okay. Yeah, Memorial Day. I'm taking all 3 days off, and it's the first time I've had 3 consecutive days off, I think, since July of last year. So, yeah, it's one thing I've found out. Like, there are times where I do nothing, and I'm good at it.
I concur.
I'm doing nothing. I'm good at it. Now, after that, after Memorial Day, then the spikes start up, right? And as much as I will enjoy having 3 straight days off, you put me a game in front of me, now I'm having a really good time. So, really good time. And we have all the kids and the grandkids coming in this weekend. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, how about that? So, then after that, I got the coaches versus cancer. Emceeing the reception on Thursday night, playing on Friday the 2nd, and then opening night for the Spikes at home is Friday the 2nd. Opening night for Williams Sports, the 1st, by the way. All right? Thursday night. Okay. Brett McMurphy in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, let's get to it. Brett McMurphy joining us from the Action Network. Brett, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Hey, good to talk to you again. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing really well, and it's great to talk with you as always. Okay, so let's get to it and get right out of the gate with some interesting stuff. Pac-12 ESPN. Right, everybody's been saying, oh, they're going to be involved in some way, shape, or form. What have you heard about any talks, if any?
Well, Andrew Marchand of the New York Post reported today that basically ESPN was no longer in serious discussions with the Pac-12. Dennis Dodd had reported that also actually 2 or 3 weeks ago when the Pac-12 were having their spring meetings. And then The Athletic reported just the opposite. I've been told for a couple months that ESPN would not be part of the Pac-12 at the amount the Pac-12 wants. So in theory, I guess, ESPN could have some kind of Pac-12 relationship, but it's not going to be for the money the Pac-12 is seeking. So the question is, you know, how low will the Pac-12 go? ESPN is not going to overbid for this. If anything, they're going to underbid with all the financial issues they're having with layoffs and also trying to, you know, figure out how much they want to have going forward, whether it's the NBA, NFL. Certainly the 12-team college football playoff is going to cost a lot. So you know, everything I've heard kind of mirrors what Dennis and Andrew have been reporting, in that ESPN will not be the primary partner for the Pac-12 unless you get to the point where the Pac-12 is so desperate where ESPN can get the Pac-12 for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, and that makes complete sense, which puts them in a tough spot. You also wrote a really terrific article on the Magnificent Seven. Look, Jim Phillips has nothing to do with any problems that they have. He's the one that's in charge of solving it. What is a solution, or are they even close to that?
I was hoping you'd tell me, because then I could tell Jim. I mean, they're just in a bad spot. I mean, they really are, and it's you know, everyone wants to blame Jim Phillips. It's not his fault. He didn't create this. But then also, you know, everyone's saying, well, John Swofford put him in this position. He did, but if people, they have selective memories. When this happened back in 2016, the ACC got the grant of rights. They got a 10-year, the 20-year deal. To keep the conference together. At that point, the Big 12 was, you know, a possibility for Florida State. They had Board of Regents members saying that Florida State wanted to go to the Big 12. It was right around when Maryland had went to the Big 10. And so basically the ACC, you know, did this grant of rights deal. They got an ACC network, which is a huge thing back then. And I kept the conference together. That was the good news. The bad news is it's a 20-year deal. And, you know, looking back at it, you know, everyone's, you know, 2020 vision, but, you know, did the ACC really need a network? Well, they felt like they did because the Big Ten had one, the SEC had one. So now you sign a 20-year grant of rights, and as I wrote, you know, the other day, you know, basically to sum up the position the ACC's in right now, we can look at the wise words of that great historian Meatloaf from Paradise by the Dashboard Light. I swear I'll love you till the end of time, and now I'm praying for the end of time. So that's kind of the situation the ACC schools are in, because the Magnificent Seven, which I called them, they all would leave in a heartbeat to get an opportunity to play in the Big Ten or the SEC. More specifically, get the money that they would get by being in the Big Ten or the SEC.
So my question would be then, Brett, is that if you are a TV network, what is the impetus for you to give more money if you already have deals that have a set number on them? Because we know the Big Ten has some clause in it about Notre Dame, but nobody else.
Well, what specific network or conferences are you talking about? Because it's different for everyone.
Right. Well, the Big Ten would be the one that has the clause in it.
Yeah. So if you're the Big Ten, you've got 16 schools right now. Obviously, next year with SC and UCLA coming on board. So the question is, can you increase your you're already decided you're going to be a national conference. So if you could get into, you know, Oregon, I reported Oregon and Washington have been vetted and approved. If the Big Ten wants to go that way, you know, do you go west? Do you hope that somebody from the ACC climbs over the wall and gets out of the grant of rights? We won't know until somebody tries to do it. But if you're the Big Ten and you can get into the state of Florida, I'm sure that would increase the amount of your TV deal per school. Now, I'm just not talking overall value, but I'm talking after you add in the new members, after you divide the pie up, if it's a bigger piece of pie than you had with a 16-team league,
right,
then that would be the incentive to move forward. The unknown is, what is Fox, you know, what does Fox's numbers tell them, CBS, NBC? What does the Big Ten tell them? You know, the Nebraska, I'm sure you saw the stuff. I tweeted it. And
yes.
The Omaha
Ted
World
Carter.
Herald reported. You know, basically he's the first one that's come out right out and said, yeah, there's going to be more expansion. I give him credit. He's being honest. He's saying what everybody's saying privately, but to hear it from a university president, I think it even adds more credibility. But the question is, if you're the Big Ten, you know, how big do you want to go? Where do you want to go? And ultimately, they're not going to do any – nobody has added any teams to make less money. So if they can't make more money, then they'll stay at 16. But if it's worth more money, again, per school, then I think the Big Ten would go to 18, go to 20. Let's get 5 or 10 years down the road. I think they'll be at 24. So will the SEC. But I think the SEC is going to hold pat at 16 unless the Big Ten decides they're going to expand beyond 16. Then I think the SEC would match them. And then it could get fascinating if you're into these sort of things with teams like North Carolina or maybe even a Virginia, where both the SEC and Big Ten would really want possibly both of those universities because they're not currently in states that they're located. And you could get, you know, a weird kind of bidding war for those schools if, again, if any of the schools from the ACC are able to get out before 2036.
Because North Carolina and Virginia happen to be AAU schools, and Florida State, for example, is not. And we've, at least in the past, Big Ten presidents have valued that above all. But is this more unpredictable now because there are 8 new Big Ten presidents?
You know, it really is. And also, and I know Kevin Warren's no longer the commissioner there, but I spoke to Kevin at Big Ten Media Day last year, and I asked him point blank, is it a requirement for any new members to be AAU members? And he told me no. He's no longer the commissioner. Has that stance changed? You know, I don't know. I don't have that answer. I'll try to find that out this July when I get a chance to talk to the new commissioner. But I think you're onto something. That it is a different environment. I think they're going to look at things differently. And the tricky thing about, I mean, Florida State's a huge brand, no matter what their success is,
right?
On the field, they're still a huge brand. There's a reason that they're opening up Sunday night prime time against LSU. They're a big TV draw. So with Florida State, I was talking about, and you mentioned Carolina and Virginia, AAU schools, and Florida State's not. If you gave Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, truth serum and said, do you want to add Florida State, Miami, he'd say no. But then if you still had some left over and said, okay, well, what if the Big Ten is going to add Florida State, Miami? What are your thoughts on Florida State, Miami then? I think at that point, the SEC may say, we don't really want those guys because we already have the University of Florida. We're fine in the state of Florida. But we also don't want our biggest competitors to come into the state either. And so that's where this whole thing's going to get fascinating when and if some of these guys get out of the ACC is kind of the jockeying for position between the Big Ten and the SEC on some of these potential members, because we're no longer the Power Five, we're the Power Two, the Middle Three, and the Group Five. So those two leagues will determine, you know, where all the pieces are moved on the board, if you will, kind of like the old game of Risk.
Where is Brett Yormark of the Big 12 in all of this, in your opinion?
He'd love to add some Power 5 schools, but, you know, it takes two to tango. I think we'll know something by July 1st if Colorado or Arizona decide that they want to leave the Pac-12. I think we would know that by July 1st. If they decide to stay in the Pac-12, if the Pac-12 can't sign a grant of rights, if Oregon and Washington are still in the Pac-12, then, the Big 12 has a decision to make. Do they want to go after some Group of Five schools? It'd be quicker to tell you who they haven't talked to be honest, than list everyone they have talked to. The reason for getting them is you're getting someone at a lower value. That you bring them on board, they'll increase value. They'll, yeah, hopefully pay off for you. The flip side of that is you can get these same teams a year from now. So why do anything now? So I think your mark is gonna wait to see what happens if anybody leaves the Pac-12. Certainly they would extend an olive branch. And if, you know, getting a couple of years further down the road, if some of these schools in the ACC get out and there's a way out of the grant of rights and then it's a mass exodus out of the ACC, then certainly I think the Big 12 would make a pitch to any schools that were not picked up by the Big 10 and the SEC to kind of join forces with the Big 12. And at that point, you'd have the Big 2, you'd have the Big 12 with, you know, 14, 16, 18, whatever members they could get. And then if all of that had happened, then basically the Pac-12 would have merged or joined forces with the Mountain West. The ACC, whatever's left over, would have kind of taken teams from the American or whatever. So then you'd kind of have the Big 2, whatever the Big 12 would be, and then whatever's left of the conferences in whatever fashion that may be.
Yeah, because to me, with the NBA rights up and the college football playoff rights coming up, I see networks saving money to make the big bids.
And the biggest and baddest of all, and that's the NFL.
Yeah, in the NFL, right? I mean, that's where they want to put their money, and those rights are coming up. So that's why I'm wondering how much money is left for everybody else. Well, Brett, it is always a pleasure because you always have great information, but that's always been your MO.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm just glad I got to, you know, watch the Meatloaf video this past week to make sure I had the lyrics right.
That was the best line of the article, by the way. I loved it. So thanks so much.
And Twitter, I know you got to go. Twitter's so great because you always have funny responses. Somebody, I forgot the one Meatloaf song, I Would Do Anything for Love, but I won't do that. I guess I should have thrown that in there, too, for the ACC.
Well, at least you got it, slipped it in on this show, and that's good. Hey,
so all you youngsters out there, go Google Meatloaf, Dashboard, Paradise by the Dashboard Light. You'll enjoy it.
Thanks so much, Brett.
You got it. Thanks, Steve.
That's a violation if anybody doesn't know those two Meatloaf songs.
I can see you playing that on the way home tonight.
Oh, I will. I might.
I loved it. See, you're going to... See, I
love Meatloaf.
Yeah, but I mean the musician.
I like them both. The meat and the musician.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.